We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
All right, Booney, I think after 2 weeks of trolling, I think we should give Jeremiah his to the Huskers. The Huskers are
welcome
on the
board. Welcome to the dub column, buddy. Welcome to the dub column.
Listen, let's go.
We beat finally a powerhouse MAC school in obliterating fashion with a backup quarterback. I mean, we're back.
Who did you play?
Nebraska's back.
Eastern Kentucky, Northern
NIU. Northwestern.
Oh, NIU. Northern Illinois,
Huskies, a directional school of some kind.
Northern Illinois, maybe the best football team in Illinois right now. TBD. It's TBD. I mean, hey,
that's the Saluki slander will not stand on this
I'm
show.
I'm just saying. I mean, they got Rocky Lombardi at quarterback. I think they only had 96 yards or 108 yards of offense. Our defense just smothered them. Backup quarterback ran all over the place. We're back, boys. We're back. We're the best 10-2 football team you've ever seen.
Can we have a Division II in the Big Ten? Can we do that? Can we separate
them
like Tier
when your boys
1?
Relegation.
When your boys get beat by Notre Dame this week, we'll see who's talking.
Steak and a beer? Steak and a beer?
We'll see. Steak and a beer?
We'll
steak
see.
Steak and a beer? Steak and a beer?
Okay.
Huh? I don't know. Put your money where your mouth is, big dog.
Booney, you know this about me. So I'm a gopher. I'm a golden gopher. That's where I graduated.
Yep.
Notre Dame is my second team. My grandfather played for Newt Rockne in the late 1920s.
I remember you told me that. That's
he was
awesome,
a fullback when they had like six fullbacks on the field, yeah, you know, back in the late 20s. So I would get in on some sort of I'm taking Notre Dame. Give me Notre Dame. Staking a beer.
How was that Gopher game this weekend? I forgot to watch.
Oh,
how'd
looks
that,
like we're
that,
out of time for all the college
how'd
football
that Minnesota
discussion.
How
did that basketball team you guys played do?
Hey, they got a first-round quarterback now. They got
although he had some bad passes and a couple really bad interceptions. So
dude, there's everybody's a first round quarterback. Okay. Stop it. Stop it. Okay.
Except for the
enough
Gophers quarterback.
Enough.
All right. So enough college football, real football.
Yeah, I can't talk about D2 anymore. Let's go. Get into this.
All right. Here's some dumb football questions. This, by the way, welcome to the O-Line Committee. Thank you guys for helping us get over 8,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. You're helping us grow Apple, Spotify, the best things you can do to help us grow this thing. This is an offensive line lifestyle community that Jeremiah and Alex are building here with whatever help I provide. You can hit us up by liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel and by giving us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify. We'll make our picks later on here on the show, but it's a dumb football questions format generally because it gives me a chance to represent you guys, the fans, and ask dumb football questions to two former NFL offensive linemen. So let's overreact after week two here. I want to know right now, I'm putting you guys on the spot, who are your five most likely Super Bowl winners right now? You have to decide right now.
After
who,
week two?
Who are the five most likely Super Bowl winners right now after week two?
Here we go. You ready?
Do you want to round robin this? Hold on. Do we want to go back? Do we want to round robin this or do we just want to just roll?
I just
it?
Want
yeah, round robin.
So it's like doing like a draft?
No, where it's just like, are we going like one through five, each one of us? Or are we just going to go like our first, then our second, then our third, like all the way down?
Give me, I want each of, whichever one of you wants to go first. Booney, you kind of threw your hand up. Give me Boone's five first, and then Jay's five second, and then I'll give you my five.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Niners. Dolphins.
Wow. The Dolphins.
What? That's
I said
terrible.
Overreact. Overreact.
Just wait. Chiefs. I'm a little nervous about my Bengals, but I'm going with them and the Eagles.
That's four.
And listen, the reason I said Miami is because last – oh, was that four? My bad. It's five.
You don't have to take your shoes off. You only have to use one hand.
The quarterback committee podcast did all five, so you know.
All right, here we go. Let's go, Cowboys. You got the defensive player.
Oh, my God, Cowboys.
You took one. I was – yeah.
And listen, the reason I said Miami is because last week I think they put up like 500 yards in the air. And then this week they did like, what, 250 on the ground? Dude, they don't have to beat you in the air all the time. And that's what, Mackie, we were just talking about the Vikings on Purple Daily. And it was one of those things where it's like, we don't have to beat you in the air. We'll just run the piss out of the ball if we want to do this. Like, we don't, we can pick how we want to beat you. And when you can line up against a team like that, it becomes very, very hard to win, especially when you're the offense on the other side, because you're like, hey, these guys can score at will. They don't have to just throw it to win. They don't have to run it to win. They can do anything they want. So we have to keep possession. We have to score. We have to maintain what we do well, or our defense will be running 15 play drives the entire game.
Wow. Right. Dude, the Cowboys, I feel like, well, go ahead, Jay, you go.
All right. Niners are one for me. Niners are one. Golly. I'm going to put Cowboys up there at number two.
Wow, dude.
Because that
defense, we're doing this in order?
That defense is for real. Like, that defense is for real.
It's legitimate.
If they can stay healthy, wow. Gosh, the AFC is just the top tier. I mean, I want to say the Bengals are going to figure it out, but if Joe Burrow's hurt again.
And they're 0-2. It's not like digging out last year. They need minimum to go 10-5 the rest of the way. Minimum.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Chiefs at three. I know I panic on them still, but as long as 15 is the trigger man, they'll always give themselves a chance. Golly, dude.
You scoffed at Dolphins, but the Dolphins offense is so good.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Their depth at D line is troublesome. Their depth. I mean, when I think Super Bowl contenders, I'm thinking about depth. Well, right. I'm gonna go Eagles at number four. I'm gonna go Eagles at number four, and then number five. I'm still sticking with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know they lost to Kansas City. Lost to Kansas City, but that's a good football team. Like, that is a good team. And by the end of this podcast, I mean, it's gonna be Jeremiah Searles brought to you by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I am all
You're
in
all about
on that
them,
team.
Dude. You're all in
I love that team. I love the way they play.
Here's
football.
My new Jaguars upper thigh tattoo.
100%. They win the Super Bowl. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I almost did it. I'm not going to jinx him. I'm not going to jinx him.
You coward.
I'm not going to jinx him. I'm not going to do it.
Scared.
Should we do a tattoo bet league? Tattoo bet?
Oh, my God. So I don't have any tattoos.
That's why I said tattoo bet.
My wife has about 20 of them, and she's like, when are you going to get your first one, you puss? Come on.
Should we all buy a team right now, and if they win the Super Bowl, we have to get a tat?
But it's got to be kind of like an under the radar. I think for Booney, it's Dolphins.
Yeah. Are you in?
You know I'm in.
I'll take Jags.
For my first tattoo.
For your first tattoo. Who's your team? Pick one.
Cardinals.
Oh, you trash can. You absolute trash can.
You are trash. Did you really say the Cardinals? Oh, my God.
Trash can.
You are a dumpster fire. Oh, my God. Throw them out.
Be scared. Be more scared. Be more scared.
You are so scared.
All right. The Bears. Give me the Bears. How about give me the Bears and the Cardinals in one bin, and if one of them wins, I'll get a tattoo.
You're such a coward.
I'll get an offensive line committee. If we hit 50,000 subscribers by the end of the season, how about that?
Deal.
O-line.
Ooh.
Done.
Deal.
50. Done. And if the Jacksonville wins, I'll get an O-line committee somewhere on my body. Boone, if the Dolphins win, you're in.
We got to be keeping track. I'm writing down timestamps here so we can.
Timestamp at 7:50 of the O-line committee on September 18th at 11:17. It was Mark.
I can see this conversation too. My wife asked me a great question when we were, because she's like, she's got a bunch of tattoos. She looks great. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like Rumpelstiltskin. You know, I don't want to. You guys are at least like 7 feet tall, you know?
And we all have tattoos.
Right. And she's like, well, you know, what's something, is there something you would get that represents like our relationship or something? I'm like, yeah. But if now I have to come back and say, actually, I need to get a Cardinals tattoo on my left ass cheek. Why is that? They made an unexpected run in the second half of the season. I don't know.
Nobody saw
Josh
it coming.
Dobbs was great.
Right? I'm all about this. I'm all about a Dolphins tattoo. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Oh, let's go.
Hey, let's get to the subscribers.
Five.
Okay, so did you give your five there? Yeah, you gave Jaguars. Yeah. Okay. I got the Niners number one too, man.
They're a well-oiled machine right now. It is crazy.
And they just obviously, like, we're week two and health is going to matter long term here, but they just have waves of talent and skill position players and trenches, everything. Brock Purdy can play. I think I'm going to go Eagles two. I know that they haven't looked amazing in the first 2 weeks, but the NFC, there's not that many teams. Like, Cowboys are popping up. They're going to have a nice little run to double digit wins and whatever. Give me the Chiefs three, Ravens four.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude, there's some mojo there right now. You got,
if Lamar can stay healthy, that's, you got a happy quarterback.
You got weapon. J.K. Dobbins just went down, so that might be a thing, but they can still run the ball without J.K. Dobbins.
Him and Zay Flowers, that connection is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They got to continue moving that. And then you have Mark Andrews in there, too, who is just – how about they called the play, too, right before they called? Did you see that on the goal line? They were like, oh, it's going to be a quick out right here. And sure as shit, quick out. I mean, dude, everybody sees it. And if you have the weapons and you can capitalize on it, go for it, dude.
Odell got dinged up, didn't he?
Yeah, he hurt his ankle, didn't he?
Yeah, he'll be back, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And they have weapons even outside of him, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and then I'm saying Jaguars, too. I've got the Jaguars in my five.
Go Jaguars.
For teams like Dolphins, maybe Jaguars, where you feel like, God, they defensive line, they could use another edge rusher or someone. There's going to be guys. And by the way, if my Vikings keep, if they go 0-3, whatever, Danielle Hunter is a free agent. There's going to be edge rushers. Yeah. Von Miller got traded midseason. There's always guys.
The fire sale will start soon.
And you think by week eight, teams are going to start to be like, all right, we're making a run. Let's do it.
There's a few free agents, not a ton, but what Sue and Linville Joseph did last year, where they were like, hey, Eagles look like they may make a run.
Yeah.
Now I'll be like, hey, let's just jump on that squad, right? Let's just pick a squad I want to go try and win at. Like, there's going to always a few free agents that are out there. People are like, oh, he's still playing. And then they come in and give you 30 snaps a game. And I mean,
same for running backs. There's like Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette are just sitting out
chilling.
8-10 carries a game if you want them. You know, so like the Ravens could go get Leonard Fournette or Kareem Hunt if they wanted to. Okay, so there we go. We got our five Super Bowl teams. Let's keep overreacting here. Which of these 2-0 teams is most likely to keep playing well and make the playoffs? I'm going to give you three of them.
Can I say not the Bucks before you even say this?
They're one of the three.
It blows my mind too, Mackie. I Baker cannot Mayfield. Believe it, dude.
As long as he can play the NFC North every week, I guess.
Right.
So Buccaneers, Falcons are 2-0, and the Commanders are 2-0.
Hey,
I think the Commanders are the best 2-0 team out of that group.
For sure, dude. The fact that they went into Denver after Russ was like starting to grind a little bit and get on it, and Sam came back in the second half, dude. Eric Bieniemy is one hell of a dog, dude.
You talk about those three rosters. And the Commanders are the most talented by
D line.
Payne. They don't even have Chase Young back yet.
No, right? I thought they did.
He came back last week.
But like, he's not back.
But like, he's not back yet, right? Like, he's still feeling his way in. You give him two or three more games to round himself back into shape. You got Payne in the middle there. Like, that group is, and then Robinson, I mean, after getting shot in the leg, is out there running everyone all over the place. That roster, top to bottom, is very, very talented. The only question mark is, can the quarterback keep taking care of the football? Because he put some balls out there that you're like, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
But he's
been delivering shots. I mean, that shot to Terry McLaurin in the end zone. Oh my gosh!
A lot of guys don't make that pass. That is back of the end zone. Two defenders.
I like the Commanders. I like the Commanders. Now you start talking about what division is loaded. Giants, Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles. That is a tough division all of a sudden.
Yeah, the Giants, man, their season flashed before their eyes. They were down 28-7. I had the Giants in a survivor pool yesterday, too.
I was calling Jeremiah at halftime, like, dude, what's going on? He didn't answer. I'm like,
eight quarters without scoring a point.
Yeah.
Eight. But now Saquon's hurt, and that whole team is built around him. And they got a quick turnaround going to San Fran on Thursday night.
Oh, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be a toughie. It's going to be a toughie on the road against a very good team.
Let's be honest. Going cross country was always tough. Like, you're literally
They're staying in Arizona.
I believe it.
Yeah, so they flew out. They're staying in Arizona to practice so they don't have to go cross country twice. So they're just going to stay in Arizona all week.
Smart play. Is that real, a dumb football question within a dumb football question? Is that the right thing to do?
Yes.
Is that, it's easier to do that?
You don't think about it. If you if you fly back to New York, you lose 2 hours, right? You don't recover well in a plane, and you've got to get right back in there tomorrow morning, as in Monday morning, and start game planning for a Thursday night game. It's just too much time. You would just rather, hey, you guys, we won. Great. Go back to your hotel rooms, get some sleep, get some rest, recover, and then we'll get back to work tomorrow right away on a fresh slate instead of everyone droopy and tired and then having to get right back on a plane on Wednesday.
You have to get out on Tuesday. You're going across country. You're going 3 hours back. And the worst was when San Fran, we'd always go forward in time. So we lost time going, and we played New York, and then we played Cincinnati, and you're like, God, this sucks, man. It's really – flying is a lot, especially when you're beat up. And you're trying to get everybody on the plane right away. And you're like, everybody sit down and shut up. And you're like, I can't move.
I will turn this bus around
right now.
Yeah, I would think like for West Coast, I mean, Booney, you played most of your career in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That you're okay, we're going to play a 10 a.m. game in Miami or in D.C. or New York or whatever it is.
The worst was the 10 a.m. game here in Minnesota, because it was like, it was at noon, but it was supposed to be at 1, and it was really like 7 o'clock our time. We were just like, dude, we're all over.
That's not as bad as when, like, Buffalo, we went out and played a Sunday night game in San Diego, right? So you're kicking
off. Back.
No. You're kicking off at your body clock of like 11 p.m., right? It's like midnight, and you're out there trying to perform. Like, that was the hardest. It was, you could wake up early and go. That's not bad. But when your body's like,
It's time bedtime.
Like, and it's like, it's Sunday night football. And you're just like, oh,
who's ready to go?
Like, yeah, the amount of caffeine you would have to intake on those days was brutal.
Harbaugh was super smart. So he'd be like, hey, if we have a Monday night game or a Sunday night game or a Thursday night game, our first meeting will be set at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So he'd be like, I want everyone to sleep until 11. So by the time you'd wake up, you were just ready to, like, it was great. And it was hard. Don't get me wrong. A lot of those games were hard. Like, when I came here to Minnesota, we played Seattle. Remember on Sunday Night Football? And you flew back preseason. And landed at 7 a.m. And you're like, oh, this sucks.
That was preseason, too. So they're like, all right, boys, see you at noon.
This is horrible. Oh,
my God.
Cafeteria open. Training camp hungry.
The next day. Here's a guy who's tired as shit.
Nobody cares.
Body's banged up.
I'll tell you this. Before we move on from here, I think Thursday Night Football is the dumbest thing ever. I hate it. I hate it because right now it's like, okay, it's early in the season, but like those teams that have to play Thursday night, like weeks 15, 14, 13, your body is not physically ready to go take on another game. It's a huge injury risk. I wish the NFL would do away with Thursday night.
Don't you think the NFL is more likely to add another random day with a game than to take away the Thursday game?
No.
The PA will never allow it.
I
hope they get rid of it completely.
They probably will. I think when you see, especially because you add it on a week, guys are going to be like, dude, this is too much. You can't turn around, like you said, week 15 to play in a Thursday night game. Are you crazy? Like, let's be honest. You know how drugged up you got to get out there and be like, dude, I don't even know what's going on. Just send me in the direction.
Do you remember in 2016, the Vikings, we played 3 games in 11 days. We went Sunday, Thursday, Thursday. And I have never physically felt worse in my entire life. Like, to this day, I can remember after that Thanksgiving day, waking up the next day and being like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play the rest of the year.
But it's a marketing conveyor belt that moves. Okay, cool. Great. Sounds great. Hope you feel great. You're going to be out of the league in 2 years anyways. And a new crop of players can come in and play on Thursday. Like, you know.
Yeah, I agree. But I hope the NFL does away with it completely.
Interesting. I mean, obviously, as a fan, it's really fun that, oh, there's football on Thursday. But the more you hear from the inside of the game
the games usually suck anyways. The games aren't good because everyone's out there like, oh, God, it hurts. And like, you can't put in a good game plan. And I mean, like, Saquon Barkley is not going to be able to play on Thursday night after an ankle sprain on a Sunday afternoon. He might be able to play on Sunday. Right? Yeah. Like, you might be able to, with a Thursday, Friday, Saturday rehab, be like, okay, you're going to be good. But if you get dinged at all on a Sunday and you're not going to play on a Thursday, you're just not ready and you're risking a higher injury rate.
But that's okay because we just need football. It is football.
Hey, to be fair, though, the adrenaline rush before a Thursday game, Jay, you can tell
it's the only thing that gets you through.
You're like, this is insanity. I can't believe I'm this hyped right now. It's insane. Yeah.
Okay, another dumb football question for you guys. So the Jets. The Jets had – they come back. They beat Buffalo in week one just on the adrenaline of okay, Rodgers is out, but let's go win one for Aaron. And then they go into Dallas and they face – and I didn't have Dallas in my five because I just – I don't know. Dak Prescott seems to – he's just
– he's wheeling and dealing right
defense
now.
He tried to throw two bad interceptions, though, even in that game.
He tried, but
Sauce Gardner should have had a pick six off him at one point, but –
but it wouldn't have mattered because they already the defense is smothering.
I know.
Like, holy balls.
If all of a sudden we're getting the best defense in the NFL, okay. But the Jets had to play that defense yesterday, and Zach Wilson's out there, and he goes 12 of 27, three interceptions, probably should have had like five interceptions. So my dumb football question for you guys is, if you ran the Jets and you've got their defense, you've got some weapons, Breece Hall was tweeting out some –
oh, he was pissed.
He put four footballs on Twitter for his four carries.
Yeah. What would you do if you ran the Jets right now?
Find a quarterback. I'd trade for a quarterback. I'd be willing to give up some firsts because you have lightning in a bottle a little bit. But it has to be a quarterback that's on a one-year deal. Yeah. Because you don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. Right? Is he going to come back? Is he not? You can't bring in a quarterback and trade for a quarterback that's on like a – three-year deal that's making a good amount of money. They're in a conundrum. They're in a complete conundrum because you're not going to win the Super Bowl with Zach Wilson. You're just not. No. It's not. Yeah. It's not a thing. You can't expect him to be a Brock Purdy and a game manager and go out there and be like, hey, just make good decisions. Like, your offense was built around letting Aaron Rodgers sling the football. To have a complete rebrand of what your offense is going to be in midseason doesn't happen.
No.
So I mean, specifically, though, like, so quarterbacks that are better than Zach Wilson – more experienced, have a track record of some kind, and are free agents at the end of the season. Unless I'm missing, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is on that list, and Kirk Cousins is on that list. Those might be the two guys on the list.
I mean, Minnesota won't get rid of Kirk. They just won't. I mean, it makes sense on paper, but they just would never do it.
I think the Vikings would be more likely to explore that than Kirk would be to waive it. I think Kirk is such a creature of habit. He does love Minnesota. I think the idea of going to a spotlight like that and then in the middle of a season, like having to learn a new system and get all uncomfortable, I think would scare him off from waving the no trade.
He's trying to go get another big contract. And I mean, watching that offensive line, he's going to get, I mean, I don't know if he'd get more beat up than he played in at Minnesota because he got absolutely fist pounded.
But he's learned how to navigate it here and put up some numbers.
He has. Right? He has. And I mean, but like weapons wise, you lose Justin Jefferson. Yes, you have Garrett Wilson, but you don't have the weapons that you have in Minnesota. You're probably right. I think Kirk would be like, I'm good where I'm at. But I mean, Tom Brady, what are you doing, bud?
Dude, the story came out.
You out there throwing football still, or you're divorced. You don't have a family. Like, go ahead.
You got nothing to do.
Come on.
His paperwork as a minority owner for the Raiders has not gone through yet. That story came out over the weekend. He is not officially an owner yet. He's not officially a broadcaster yet.
You could always just put that on the back burner.
Yeah.
God, imagine.
Would you rather have 46-year-old Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill or Zach Wilson?
Tannehill.
You guys disagree?
You'd rather have 46-year-old Tom who looks very skinny. I saw him at that old Patriots thing. Where they
Ryan Tannehill for the last how many years with the number one running back in the NFL do nothing.
Dude,
I would absolutely take a 50-year-old over him.
Imagine Tom going back to Patriots land in a Jets jersey after they just that whole thing week one where it's like, I love it. I miss you guys here. And then imagine he goes to the Jets and beats them.
That'd be great.
We did this on my old radio show on 1500 at ESPN Twin Cities where like Brett Favre had the magical carpet ride in 2009 and he was 40. And then the Vikings went into a series of like just random, you know, Christian Ponder and then all these random guys. Josh Freeman came in one time.
Right.
Matt Castle, right? And so like every time there'd be a new option, we'd be like, for like 10 years, we'd be like, would you rather have Teddy Bridgewater or 48-year-old Brett Favre? Give him 2 weeks. Give him 2 weeks. Learn the system.
Give him 2 weeks. Learn the system. He doesn't even know what a nickel defense is. He doesn't need to know a system. He's literally like, go run. I'll throw it.
It's like, you've won an MVP. You know what a nickel defense is? I don't know. Maybe.
I looked at him and said, hey, what's this nickel everyone's talking about?
They got to figure out something, though, because here's the thing, though. I don't necessarily think that this is a must-win this year for the Jets, because a lot of their young talent is either locked up in rookie deals or they just paid them. Like, I don't really know, looking at that Jets team, of like, okay, who's a free agent next year and who are they losing?
Yeah.
Right? Like, so they might not be in this panic win now mode as some of these teams that have like a bunch of guys on the last year of their deal or the last 2 years, or their rookies are coming up on getting paid big money. Like, they have 1 or 2 years left here to make it happen.
All right. Next dumb football question here. All right. Enough of these 50-year-old quarterbacks. All right. Let's get to the audience questions here. YouTube comment section, always wide open for you guys. If you have dumb football questions, this is a safe space for you to ask. It's a safe space to ask them. You might get clowned, but that's all part of the fun here. Okay, the Bacchinator wants to know via YouTube, why do defenses tend to tire out more quickly than offenses? Or is this a myth? Because we always talk about, like, oh, the defense is gassed. You know, they're on their heels. But no one ever talks about the offense being gassed. Why is that?
It goes back to snap count, though. I think snap count in general, right? If a team is winning and they're wearing a defense out, historically, that means that the offense has a higher snap count. And playing defensive line, Boone, you might agree with me a little bit more, is more physically, like, rushing the passer, sitting on double teams, doing that over and over and over again will physically wear you out more than pushing on a guy. Trying to stop something, right? Like, if you've ever tried to push a car, yes, you get really tired. If you ever tried to stop a car, like, you can't just, like, I'm going to stop this car, right? Like, you'd get wore out, right? It's a lot harder to stop force than it is to create force. So as an O-lineman, as you're just pushing and pushing and pushing, and usually you're heavier and bigger, like, you will just continue to wear them out over time, versus as an O-line, pass setting, yeah, you're sitting back, but those dudes are running and rushing and going. They exert more energy on a defensive front than an offensive lineman does, right? Yeah. That's just kind of the idea of wearing someone out, is they just get – It is just getting wore out from getting pushed on over and over and over again through the course of four quarters.
Right.
But you guys get gassed, though, right? But no one ever thinks about it.
You don't ever show it.
I mean, the left guard looks like he's a little out of breath there.
The only time we really get gassed is in 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's
right. Like, that's really the only time I can really believe that I was like, oh, I'm gassed. Because when you're wearing a defense out and you're pushing on him, like, you're having fun. Right, like, you're feeling good, right?
It's like a dog chasing a tennis ball.
It really is.
You're getting riled up, and, like, yeah, you'll get off the sideline and be like, oh, that was exhausting. Yeah. But, like, when you're wearing a teammate, you're having so much fun doing it, you don't get tired. But when you're in 2 minute and you watch a hole and it's like the fifth play of the drive and you're like, and all of a sudden you see a fresh set of four guys run out onto the field, that's when you're like, okay,
right.
Big breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Into the
cougar, cougar.
What's the snap count?
Oh, it's rough.
Nick K says, "Oh, this is a good one."
There we go.
Do differences in pay or player salary ever get in the way of team building and cohesion in the locker room and on the field?
Never. Mm-mm. I don't think money has ever gotten in the way of our friendships, ever. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all out here to fight. Like, what you make is your business. And that's another thing. Money is never discussed in the locker room, ever. What somebody makes, if somebody's overpaid, if somebody's underpaid, like, it's just the one thing that people know, that you never open that door, because that's, number one, rude and just extremely inappropriate. Like, it could cause a lot of rifts if people were to start talking about money. And so it's like, you know what? Let's just not do it. That, politics, there's things that are just not discussed. And it would never, it's not like, and this is what I think he was saying, was it's not like the quarterback making $300 million won't hang out with the guy making $1 million. That doesn't happen. We're all friends. We're all cool. If I saw a DB out at dinner with his family, we always, you know, dapped each other up. Hey, what's up? How you doing? Talk to the families. Like, it was never like, oh, that guy doesn't make a lot of money. We don't talk to him. Like, it wasn't like that. We're all very cool with each other. We just understood some of the guys, when they retired, we'd never see again. Like, Sam Bradford. Yeah. Never going to see Sam again.
You said he like told you that was going to be the case too, right?
They all did. They're all like, dude, you ain't never going to see me again. I'm out of here. What do you think we're trying to do? We're like, yeah, well, I'm out of here too, but I didn't make that much. So
the other piece is everyone's trying to make that much money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to dog on a guy for making a bunch of money when it's like, that's exactly why I'm here. Like, yeah. I love football, right? I love football. I would wish I could play it till I died. but we all are in this game to make a shit ton of money doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't put our bodies through what we put our bodies through unless the reward was worth it. And so, yeah, when someone signs a huge deal, no one's ever like, oh my God, can you imagine that guy made that? Like, it's
That's
always
my
like,
money. He took
congratulations,
my money.
Dude, you yeah. did it. You did it, man. Yeah. Like, you reached where we're all trying to go. Like, it's never
almost like a celebration. Like, everyone yeah. gets so excited.
Everyone's
when they
super excited
decide.
When someone
like,
gets
dude,
paid.
You got it. Way to go, bro.
It's
no one's
never,
like, that's mine. That's
never,
mine.
Never a divisive yeah. thing. I've never yeah. been a part of anywhere where it's been divisive.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I don't know, sometimes you think, well, maybe there's some resentment if a guy's not, like, a guy makes, it's less about money maybe, and maybe, all right, the team has a finite amount of resources, and that guy takes up a lot and isn't good or something. Like,
I
that
think
type
that's
of resentment.
More, that probably goes more towards the draft than money. I think there's a lot of times where someone gets drafted, usually in the first three rounds, right? Like, they're going to get way, way, way more chances than someone that's maybe a low round or a PFA that might be equally or maybe slightly better. Because the draft is the ultimate tell of a front office, right? The draft is the ultimate tell of, like, can they evaluate? Can they invest well? And so a front office is going to have a really hard time if they draft someone in the first, second, or third round, not forcing them out onto the field. Because if you don't, then it's kind of like, well, you guys suck at drafting, and it's like it spirals out of control.
Yeah.
So I do think that Booney and I have been a part of teams where it's like, man, that guy's getting a lot of chances and he's screwing it up a lot. And then you look at it, it's like, ah, he was a second round pick. Right? Like, though, I think that is more of a conversation in the locker rooms than right. it ever is about money. It's more about, why is he still getting so many chances? Why is he still playing? Why is he doing this? It's like, oh, well, they drafted him high. Obviously they're going to play him.
Right.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Let's see here. We'll get to our picks here too, by the way. Let's go with Dale Reike. Ricky says, what adjustments are made when the starting quarterback is injured during a game and the backup has to come in?
So we basically go back to like Pop Warner football. All right, here we go. I write 53 duo. Literally. I mean, it is not when the starters in, especially because the starters, most of the starters in this league are advanced. Like, if Kirk Cousins goes out of the game, you're not going to see the same game plan from the backup. If Patrick Mahomes goes out of the game, you're not going to see the same game plan. It's going to change a little bit. It's going to become a little bit more run fresh. Why? Because you're probably not going to take as many chances as you would with those guys as you would with the backup. And at the same time, now that we're in the season, I think it's funny because when Jay and I played, you could see the two different sets of offenses in for each guy. Like, the starter had a massive package. And then if it was, God forbid, hey, if we ever get into this, these are the plays that he likes. And it's like five or six plays. And yeah. It's like seriously dumbed down.
So the backup's like, package is smaller than the starter's package.
It might
figuratively
as well
and literally. Okay.
You could just flip it open and go, hey, I write 97 power. That's all you're running the rest of the game. It's a lot because, and I think a lot of it is because the offenses are so geared towards the starter. What does he like? What does he like to throw? What does he like to run? How does he like to see the defense? Does he like to have pressure in his face or away from him? It's just, and so you spend 7 days a week. What do you like, dude? And then all of a sudden in quarter three, he goes out and everyone's like, who's the backup? What does he run? Can this dude even throw a ball? Like, it's just very different.
It just gets very simple, right? You go back to very simple where a lot of times, I mean, you have multiple routes and you have routes that can like convert to different routes versus this coverage. And you have to know on the same page, like, okay, if I'm a quarterback and we're running a certain route that can convert to a hook or a post based off of single high, double high, like, you know, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm like, okay, I know Justin Jefferson's going to convert this route to this, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as I snap the ball, I don't have to look at Jefferson. I can just look and go, oh, it's cover one. We had this play called on. He's going to convert it to that. As a backup, you don't maybe think that way. You're like, yeah, I have this route called. Okay, Jefferson's going to run this route. And all of a sudden you go to throw it and it's like, oh shit, he converted. And now you're throwing it a pick, or you bring it back down for a second. You're taking a sack. Like, those are kind of things that, like, you simplify that, which then allows the defense to run whatever they want, right? And it puts it back on that. But you have to just get to the quick passes, comfortability. And I think the number one thing when you get a quarterback in there that's a backup is you have to instill confidence in him very quickly, which mm-hmm. is like, hey, find your tight end, find the quick slant, receiver bubble screens, just finding him the way to get into the rhythm. And the last part on this, when you go from being a backup to a starter, a lot of times when you get thrown into the game, like Zach Wilson last week, you just kind of run by the seat of your pants and you just you play out of your mind, right? That happened to me quite often. If I got a chance to just run in and go, like you kind of just black out and you just go in there and go. But when you have a full week of being the guy, you actually sometimes play worse because you're now in your own head. You're thinking about the whole game plan, the whole bit. And as a quarterback, you're now the pressure guy and everything. And it can sometimes just be a lot for those guys. And so that's why you just see guys like, oh, well, he played so well last week when he came in. What happened this week?
Right.
When you take the full week to prep and become the guy, you can actually play worse.
Yeah, I agree. Coming off the sidelines, it's an adrenaline rush. Like the minute the time stops and they're like, hey, you ready? You're like, I guess so. Let's do it. Like you, it's like Jay said, you black out and you walk in the huddle. You're like, what's up, fellas? This is what this is like. All right.
Everyone's tapping their head like, you got it, bud. You're good. You're like, yeah. Okay, I'm ready. I'm good. Yeah. I mean, I played my best football. I'm shitting you not, Mackie. I played my best football coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I graded out the best out of all the games when I came off the bench versus when I was the starter.
I would agree with that because when you do have more time to sit and watch yourself, you're like, I did this wrong. I wonder who else sees this, or I did this wrong, or I got to do this. Like you just constantly. But when you're like, hey, I just got to go do it. I'm going to do it. I mean, 70,000
there's less to lose in that too because the expectations you feel like are, well, shit, I'm coming in to save the day here. And anything beyond, you know, playing decently is a bonus. But throughout the week, you're probably just overthinking and you're thinking about the things that you have to prevent from going wrong.
And then thinking even to the bigger chess game, right? The bigger chess game, backup quarterback comes in. They go, okay, what do you like to run? Okay, you run this. Okay, well, you just put all that shit out on tape, right? So now what's the first thing the D coordinator is going to do for the next week? Hey, they ran this when he came in. We're taking that away, right? We're taking all of that away, and we're going to force him to do things that he was not comfortable with last week, see if he can do it this week, right? The bigger chess game that goes back and forth to that is between the coordinators is massive.
I also think, too, the NFL in the last 20 years has done so much to make it easier for top quarterbacks to operate, which I think creates a different gap than maybe 30 years ago. 30 years ago, everyone was getting bludgeoned. 40 years ago, like this is anecdotal, but think about how many backup quarterbacks took over for starters and then either won a Super Bowl or got close, like Doug Williams, like late 80s, 90s. It was just a parade of Hostetlers and Doug Williams and Frank Reich was the backup quarterback for Jim Kelly, and he, for 30 years, had the greatest comeback in NFL history against the Colts, you know? Yep. And now it feels like there's maybe only four or five or six backups where you're like, okay, yeah, that guy, like Andy Dalton used to be a starting quarterback for 10 years, and he can probably figure it out. The gap is a lot wider now for guys to come in and look fluid.
The elite quarterbacks nowadays, the dual threat guys, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, I mean, even these young guys, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, like they're all a type of dual threat. So unless you have a carbon copy of what those guys are, and even the dropback guys, right? Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, like unless you have a carbon copy backup of what those guys are, the skill sets just don't mesh.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you have a RPO run first offense with like a Lamar Jackson and a Jalen Hurts, and then you're like, oh gosh, he got hurt. Okay, let's go put this statue back here who's a true pocket passer. It just doesn't work. Like you have to have carbon copy backups, which is just not a realistic thing to be in the NFL.
Yeah. And no matter what you say, those starters are getting these live reps every day, all the time. And these backups don't. So when you do get thrust in the moment, like you're right, they do great because they're so excited. But when they have to think about it for too long, it's like this is not how they practice. They're not ready for this. They're not. Jay said it. When you become the starter, it's like you become formed into it. Like you just start looking at things differently. You start spending your week differently. And the minute that they start getting a beat on you, it becomes trouble. And the backups are just, they don't get all these reps that they want. So I think they try to give them as much as they can in the preseason. But when it comes to real season, it is so much different out there. The speed is so incredibly different. And that's the one thing that we keep telling everybody is like, you're going to go out there in preseason and it's going to look really hard. And then you're going to go out there in the regular season. It's going to look like a fucking war and you're not going to know what's going on. Guys, bodies are going to be falling everywhere. Everyone's going to be on the ground. It's out of control. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, you've never really played in a live game. You ready, bud? Go catch the ball. You're the boss. Tell them what to do. Go tell all those big guys how to move. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, especially because I remember when we were here and Teddy went down and we had to throw Sean Hill in. That was a great time. That was different. Sean was the man. Sean had played like 30 years in the league, so he was ready to roll. But
he threw like 20 passes and his arm blew out, didn't it?
He threw that last pass to Stephon Diggs to get us the first down to win the game, and I was so excited. It was like a spider two. Remember that, Jay?
Dude, he pulled his calf trying to step up in the pocket. Remember, he scrambled around and he's like, ah, and we came out to the side. We're like, Sean, what happened? And he's like, I think I pulled my calf.
Remember when he came in though? He's like, all right, boys, let's run this. Let's see if we can do this. And I was like, this is so much different than what I was expecting it to be. And it's because the game plan was completely different. And I think they thought the game plan was completely different, so they didn't know how to attack us. But then all of a sudden after that, it's like everybody figured it out quickly. And it's hard at times when the backup comes in too, because they get a little bit deer in the headlights and it's over.
Yeah. All right, boys, let's make our picks of the week here. We got four games on the docket.
What did you do last week? Did you get the record?
Yeah, I'm always going to give you the record. I may or may not troll Jeremiah with someone who beat Nebraska with some apparel that didn't happen this week. So,
Tony, did he change
Jeremiah
his shirt?
Can glow up. So, yeah, every week we do five or four highlighted games that we expect to be, or they're supposed to be close games on paper. So we're picking close games. And we pick straight up because the spread is for losers, as Jeremiah says.
I need that on a t-shirt.
The spread is for losers.
The spread is for losers.
For losers.
Unless it's a food spread or a charcuterie board, in which case. Okay, so Alex, you went 2-2 last week, bringing your season record to 6-2. I went 2-2 last week, bringing my season record to 5-3. And Jeremiah, the casual, went 1-3 last week, bringing his record to 3-5. On the season. Jeremiah doesn't know ball like Alex and myself.
Jaguars are going to beat the Chiefs. Jaguars. I'm all about this Jaguars team.
You're not even 500, bro. Tattoo league. Get out of here. Can't wait. Taking a beer.
All right. I got four games for you guys here. Let's start with the Thursday night game here. The New York Giants finally finally scored some points in like the third or fourth quarter of their second game. The Giants are going on the road, but it is a short, weird week on Thursday night football against the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers, who wins straight up.
Niners. Pains me to say, my boy J. Mike and them, but the Niners, I mean, that's a 2-loss, 3-loss football team this year.
Are we all Niners here? Is this an easy one? Yeah, okay.
Probably.
Yeah, there's...
Especially with no Saquon. If Saquon was in, they'd have a better chance. Different. But with no Saquon, that offense is going to struggle.
Okay, so we all got the Niners on that one here. Let's get to three that I think are going to be a little bit more contentious here. We'll start with Bills at the 2-0 Commanders.
Ooh.
So Buffalo started to figure it out a little bit offensively in week two. The Commanders have been one of the surprise starts at 2-0. We talked about them earlier. So, Jeremiah.
Man, this is tough.
You just raved about the Commanders, man. I know we're putting you on the spot here.
I know I did. Is Vaughn back yet?
He
has to weigh up 4 weeks. Never mind. That's a good question.
Okay.
Screw it. I'm going Commanders.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going for it. You know, I think that defensive line, the Buffalo's O-line has struggled a little bit. I think that defensive line gets after Josh Allen a little bit. And, yeah, give me the Commanders.
I'm joining Jay on the Commanders wagon here. I still say the vibes are a little bit weird in Buffalo, and that's a tough road game against – one of the best pressure defenses in the NFL the last couple of years, the Commanders. If they start getting after Josh Allen, I could see a couple weird turnovers. I know this would be the week to like fade the Commanders because they're going to come back to earth, but I'm going to fade the Bills all season. I feel like there's just weird vibes with the Bills. So I'm going to take the Commanders here. Give me the Commanders.
Josh throws picks when he's under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Josh throws picks when he's under pressure.
Okay. I can't believe the two of you right now are both going against the Bills. I can't believe this. All right. Then I'll be the lone wolf. Let's go. Let's go, Buffalo. I can't wait to put you two through a table. Listen, I agree with you. Commanders are great. What they did in Denver last week, I love it. Sean Payton is eating more of his words every day. I love that when coaches have to eat words for shit that they say about each other. It just makes me laugh, right? Like, finally, it's not me saying it. So I'm going to go with the Bills. But I agree with you. I think the Commanders are a great team. I think they're on the rise. I think their defensive front is phenomenal. But at the same time, I see the Bills getting out of this one. So
Eric Bieniemy, man, he's going to be a head coach after this year.
The fact that he's not is a shame, dude. I'm not even kidding you. That's some bullshit.
He's going to be a head coach. He's shown he can do it with Sam Howell right now. Grant, I agree. I don't think that that's a 10-win football team. But what he's doing with that offense right now is pretty special.
One of my favorite memories as a young journalist covering football for the first time. I covered the 2007 Minnesota Vikings beat, and Eric Bieniemy was the running backs coach for rookie Adrian Peterson. And I think he was the running backs coach for like at least 3 years because he was still there in 2009. And he for those 3 years would light into, just like anyone, he lights into Patrick Mahomes. He lit into Adrian Peterson unlike anyone probably in Peterson's life ever had to that point. And it worked. Like, it worked. It turned,
love it.
It turns guys into good players. Okay, Vikings at Chargers. The 0-2 teams desperately looking for a third victory or for a first victory here.
You'll do anything to talk about Kirk, won't you? You'll do anything.
What's the spread on this game? Is it out yet?
There is an early line somewhere, but I have not seen it yet.
Is Darisaw back?
It's Chargers at Vikings, by the way. Chargers at Vikings.
Is Darisaw back, though?
He's going to be questionable with the ankle.
I wonder if Eckler's back, because that makes a difference, because Joshua Kelly did nothing.
Yeah, we're making these picks. This is because we have a big travel conundrum this week, so we're making these picks like before the Monday night games of week two. So
there's still lines that'll come out.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to go Chargers. I'm going Chargers.
Wow, dude, wow.
And here's why. I'm going to say this, and you guys are all probably going to jump on this bandwagon, but we just broke down 5 run plays on Purple Daily. And we saw that it has nothing to do with the play, the scheme. It's the execution. It's not blocking people. It's physically not putting your goddamn hands on someone's chest and throwing them to the ground. That's what this game is. Mackie, we talked about it. When you put that out for 2 weeks and you keep sitting back with, well, this isn't who we are. This isn't who we are. It's who you are. You're fumbling too much. You can't keep pressure away. You're just not the team that everybody thought you were going to come out and be. And now you're going as an 0-2 Chargers, who everyone's down on right now, super pissed, and you might not have your left tackle, and you're probably not going to have your center. I'm going Chargers.
Dude, the Chargers have just found ways to lose games the first 2 weeks of the
year. So have the Vikings.
But, I mean, the Chargers on paper are definitely better. I'm going Chargers. I can't go away. You know, I think they're on paper, they're better. I think if you talk about teams that feel like they have backs to their wall, like can they come out swinging and rally more? I got to go with the Chargers. If Eckler's back, if Eckler's not back, and we're making these picks,
then we're going Vikings.
But I'm going to say Eckler's back. He was questionable this week. He wasn't like I think Eckler's back, and I think that the Chargers win.
I'm caught between, do I go against you guys or do I pick what I had on paper, which is Chargers?
Come on, Lone Wolf.
I've seen this play before. This feels like the end of an era in Minnesota, that they're going to get off to a slow start. They're going to finally draft a quarterback in the future next year. And like Booney said, if Darisaw is out again, you're missing 40% of your already sort of rickety offensive line. I think the Chargers come in and put the Vikings in an 0-3 hole. That's how I feel right now on this Monday. So,
yeah,
Chargers are across the board here for us. And then the fourth game, Patriots at the Jets.
Ooh.
0-2 Patriots. First time 0-2 since 2001.
Wow.
When they won they won their first Super Bowl of a dynasty.
Tommy B.
Mm-hmm.
This could be like a 7-10 game. Like it really could be.
6-3.
There'll be at least one touchdown.
Can't guarantee that, but I'll go first.
No, Mackie gets to go first.
I'll go first. Okay, I think Zach Wilson is absolutely screwed against Bill Belichick scheming against him for a week. So I'm going to go Patriots in some sort of weird grinded out 13-9 kind of a situation. And then this puts the Jets in a full blown 1-2 panic. To go make a deal, to go make a phone call. Maybe if the Vikings are 0-3, maybe that phone call takes place the day after. We'll see.
I think Belichick's going to – I agree. I think Belichick on paper is going to scheme Zach Wilson's head into a blender. Like he's not going to know. It, very similar to what they did week one. You know, they put a great game plan out against the Eagles, end up coming up short. But I think the plan that Belichick will have on defense is going to really rattle Zach Wilson. He's going to throw some bad picks. And that's how they're going to win the game. I think, Patriots.
All right, listen. I'm only doing this because of reckless speculation, and I'm in the mood. But I think this is the game that's going to send him out.
Who, Belichick?
See you, Bill.
You're out of your mind, dude. Wait. That's the worst take I've ever heard. That's the worst.
You think he starts 0-3 and gets
and
fired?
They fire him?
You're not going to fire him. At the end of the year, they will. They're not going to fire Bill Belichick in the middle of the season.
I thought you were saying 0-3. Send him on his way.
No, this is the game that everyone's going to turn around and go, yep, it started right there.
He lost to the Jets. Yeah.
Then he lost to the Jets. Listen, I can't honestly sit here and tell you that I take their defense in our fat guy fantasy and then not at least roll with some wins with them. I'll roll with my team. I don't care how bad their quarterback is, and he sucks. But you have Breece Hall in the backfield going, hey, what the hell? Give me the ball, and I will help us. And at the same time, let's stop acting like Mac Jones is Tom Brady. He's not.
He's not.
Okay? Stop.
But he's not Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
that's great. But he's definitely better than Zach. He can't even get it to a 7-foot tall tight end without giving it to the other team. I mean, dude, stop it. Okay? I'm going. Where's this game at?
It's at New York.
At New York.
Let's go, baby.
Over or under 5 total turnovers this game?
Oh, over for sure. For sure. I'm not saying the ball. It's going to be a clean game.
I hope it's windy,
reckless
too.
As all hell. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
So Jay and I have the same picks this week, which means he can't gain on me.
Nope.
So I will maintain a 2-game lead on Jeremiah. We'll see how Alex
does. I'm the lone wolf twice on this. I just want you guys to realize
this could be a big swing for Alex. This could be a big swing for Alex and put me in a massive hole.
There's your O-line committee picks of the week here. Please click the subscribe button and the like button on our YouTube channel. And then if you could also give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts, then you too can become an offensive line Jedi.
And like if you love run the football breakdowns, make sure you check into this week's football breakdown.
13 runs on one touchdown drive.
Come on over and watch the YouTube page. Come on and do
all
it.
Of them were like 5 yards too. Just a death by paper cuts. So I check those
cut torture.
Yes.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.